Luke chapter 4, if you have a Bible. How many are thankful for life? I'm so glad we don't have to be prudes. He's called us to have life and have it more abundantly. We gather here this morning celebrating Pentecost Sunday morning, which we know is the infilling of the Holy Ghost came upon the followers, believers of Jesus. After his death and resurrection, some 500 followed him, some 500 people. But in the upper room, by the time, you know, he told them to go and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father, somewhere between here and there, Ethan, somewhere between there and there, a bunch of them dropped out. There ended up being 120 in the upper room. There were 500 following. There were 500 following. 500 listening. But only 120 tarried. We get weary sometimes waiting, don't we? Sometimes we fall off when we're waiting because we lose sight of the promise. The faithful, say it, faithful. Faithful is he who is called. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, meaning Jesus, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus stood up to read. And as he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and as he opened the book of Isaiah, he found the place, say the place. Did I let the kids go? No, okay, we'll let the kids go. You can go downstairs if you want. They stayed up last night. You know what? I didn't hear a peep out of one of them either. They were just, maybe we should just start keeping them up all the time. They were into it. That's where I strengthened my teeth in the Lord. Sunday mornings, man, when the preacher preached, I loved every minute of it. I wanted to hear him preach. I loved it. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up and he took the scroll in his hand. And as he began to unravel the scroll, the book of the prophet Isaiah, he found the place where it was written. Your Bible says that all these things were written aforetime for our learning and understanding, that through faith, patience, and comfort of the Scriptures, you and I might have hope. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind." Wow. Jesus now stands in the synagogue with the spiritual. He declares that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, as it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. He said, "Because I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And poor doesn't mean destitute and poor. It simply means those who are lost. "To proclaim liberty," although you poor is involved in that, just as are the rich. "To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What a mission. Then we jump to John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15 through 17. Jesus declaring to his disciples, "If you love me," how many love the Lord today? Do you love him today? The Lord said, if you love me, the sign of your love for me will be this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, what he said to them is, a sign of those who love me will be that you will do that which I say to do. The things that I have declared, the things that I have spoken, those things shall you do. If you love me, you will do these things. And then Jesus says, and I will ask the Father. This is powerful stuff. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love me and you keep my commandments, I, Jesus, will ask the Father. And he, the Father, those of you, if you have any problem with the Trinity, this will settle you right now. If you love me, Jesus, I will ask the Father. You there? And he will give you. Wait, come on, put up two fingers. Put up two fingers. Say, I'm going to settle it. The Father, the Son, that's two. Jesus said, the Father will give another. That's three. Jesus, the Father, he'll give another. He'll give another. Say, he'll give another. You need the other. You need the other. You got the Father. You believe in Jesus. You need the other. Because the other is the promise. The other is the one Jesus said will come and he will give you help. He, the other, the Holy Spirit, he, the third part of the Godhead Trinity, he will be, I don't know how theologians can't be smart enough to see that. I, Jesus, will pray to the Father and he will give another. John the Baptist said, I told him last night, John the Baptist said, there comes one. There comes one greater than I, meaning Jesus. There comes one greater than I. So we don't need Muhammad. We don't need Confucius or confusion or Buddha or anybody else. We don't need vapor things. We don't need to vape ourselves. We don't need alcohol. God help us. Why do we put something in ourselves that will mess us up? I for the life of me, don't understand it. You moke cigarettes. You moke you some cigarettes. You smoke them cigarettes. I'm going to pray today that every time another one touches your lips, you become violently ill till you throw up and can't stop. To every time you put it to your lips, Father, seal it today. Father, I pray in the anointing and the authority of Jesus' name, every time one of them foul, wretched cigarettes touch the lips of one of your born-again, spirit-filled children, they become violently nauseous. In the authority of Jesus' name. You don't need to put something in your body that will destroy you. The enemy's trying enough to destroy you. You don't have to bring it upon yourself. That's a whole nother sermon. We don't need alcohol. We don't need tobacco. We don't need marijuana. We don't need any of these other drugs. I don't even know what they are. We don't need them, whatever, cocaine and whatever else it is. You don't need that stuff. Because Jesus said, if you love me and keep what I've said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another. That's three. A three-chord strand is... is not easily broken. He will give you a helper, a comforter. The word in the old language is parakletos. He will give you the parakletos, the helper, to be with you for how long? How long? How long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth. What will truth do? Set you free. Whom the world cannot receive. See, the world doesn't understand. The world thinks we're goofy. The world says we're crazy. The world says we're fanatical. I got Jesus, I got the Father, and I got the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The ones who are able to do everything there needs to be done. But the Bible says the world, they don't understand this. And part of the reason is because they don't see Him. Therefore, they don't know Him. We're conditioned. We say, I'll believe it when I... That's bad theology. That's bad theology. Say bad theology. That's bad, bad theology. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. We say that as parents. We say it as grandparents. I believe it when I see it. And then we have generations come up behind us that say, I believe it when I see it. And then a preacher like me stands up and says, have faith in something that isn't, as if it is. Speak to a thing. And then we, but I can't believe it until I see it. Jesus said, believe it, and then you'll see it. See, His theology is different than our theology. We get all messed up at some of this man-made stuff. Isn't she beautiful? You all miss it. She just said, oh, gosh. Well, I couldn't pick on Ken if I didn't, you know. You know, she said to me, do not call me the first lady again. Whatever you do, do not call me the first lady again. She is beautiful, though, isn't she? Just so you know what she's doing, she goes downstairs to just make sure everything's okay. Because that's the mother in her. That's the mother's heart in her. She got to go down and make sure the babies are okay. Make sure the little ones are okay. Make sure everybody's where they need to be to make sure everything's okay. Aren't you glad to have a heart like that? Aren't you glad to have a pastor's wife like that who loves the Lord, loves your children, loves your baby? I know I'm in trouble. I'm going to stop. Honey, we're talking about Jesus. It's going to be okay. We're talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Going to be all right. These people love you. That's why all them kids keep trying to touch your hair. If you don't know nothing about that, don't worry about it. See, the world don't know. The world don't understand because they can't see Him because they've gotten some bad theology. You, Sierra, he said, but you know Him. I like that. I like that. I know Him. There's a lot of things in this life I don't know. And the older I get, there's more, Cheryl, I find out I don't even understand. You know what I'm talking about? Every day I just shake my head and say, I don't understand. There's a point every day where I just shake my head and say, I don't understand. I never heard that before. I'd never seen that before. I don't understand that. Every day. But one thing I know, and I say this very humbly, because I know who I am, but I know who He is. I know who He is. I have heard his voice. I have heard his voice audibly. I have heard his voice very subtly in my spirit, just like a whisper, a thought, a mention. That's the majority of the time. When he called me to ministry, I heard his audible voice at one point in that conversation. I know him. I know what he's capable of. I know that when he opens his mouth, whatever comes out manifests. I know that he has no lack nor slack. I know that he's good. I know that he's faithful. I know that he's just. I know that he's merciful. I know that he's kind. I know that there is no one like him in all of the world. I know today that he is the Lord. He is awesome in this place. He will be with you, Jesus said. The Comforter, he will be with you. He will be with you. What a good father. John 14:25. You know, I get texts while I'm preaching sometimes from you. There's some of you that text me when I'm preaching sometimes. Matter of fact, it can happen almost on a weekly basis sometimes. I'll get texts while I'm preaching. I got a text, I would love to go to Israel, but we can't afford the cost. There's two people here today that would love to go to Israel, but can't afford the cost. How many believe with God all things are possible? God, if it is for your will for them to go, we call it done. We call it done. John 14:25-27. You have to June 1st, right, babe? June 1st. June 1st, you have to sign up to go to Israel with us. We got 23. I hold up. We got 20. I'm still with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We got 23. We got 23 going. We'd love to take a few more with us. If you would love to go to Israel this historic year, I heard a man who goes to Israel like every other month. He said there are more pastors and churches going to Israel right now than in the history of tours going. Because this is a prophetic year. This represents the 70th year that Israel is recognized as a nation. It's not, they've been there a lot longer than that. It's just the point where they began to be recognized. And how many of you know every 6 months since 1948, a U.S. president has taken a pen in his hand and he has delayed the moving of the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem by 6 months? Every 6 months, Karen, from 1948, every 6 months, Justin, a president of the United States has gone back on his word and delayed the moving of the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. Just a few days ago, we witnessed one of the most historic, memorable things. The United States Embassy, finally, since that time, recognized Jerusalem as the capital. That is big. That is monumental for the church. And we have the privilege this year of going to Jerusalem, being a part of that 70th anniversary, and to celebrate the opening of the U.S. Embassy. For the first time, a U.S. president said, "We will no longer." This is what I heard. This is what I heard in my spirit. chains broken. Oh my, we got spots. We got spots. Okay, the commercial's over. Back to John. John 14, 25 through 27. Let me just say this again. The majority of the people going on that tour, somebody else has volunteered to pay their ways. It's amazing. There have been people that couldn't afford to go, and God just made a way. You say, well, God didn't pay my way. Well, maybe he knew you could afford to pay your way. But either way, whether you pay your way or someone else pays your way, it's going to be a great trip. John 14, 25 through 27. These things, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you while being present with you. He said, I've told you a lot of things when I was present with you. Jesus was alive on the earth for how long? Anybody know? How long? You sure about that? Huh? How long was he alive on earth? I'm not saying you're wrong. I was just asking you if you knew. You're all like, oh man, does he know something we didn't know? 33 years he walked this earth. He said, I've spoken to you while I was with you. But, anybody got a problem with the Trinity? These things I, Jesus, while being with you, I told you this stuff. But the Helper, whoop, there's two. He clarifies it, the Holy Spirit. Who is the Helper? The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? One of the things, he helps. Whom the Father, there's three, will send in my name. Jesus, Helper, Holy Spirit, Father. He, the Holy Spirit, this is why it's important you know him. He should be your best friend. He should be your best friend. He will teach you all things. Whatever you need to know, the Holy Spirit will teach you, the Bible says. But you've got to have a willing heart. You've got to have a receptiveness. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to put his word inside you. And he will bring, for somebody like me, this is big. He will bring to your remembrance. Remember a few weeks ago, I was busting on myself for the garbage? That afternoon, I threw a garbage bag in the car. We were going somewhere. Drove right past the dumpster and went where we were going. I need set free from that. I don't know what my deal is with that. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So whatever Jesus said, whatever he put in his word, whatever he has said to you, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. That's why I can stand before you today and say, I know God. Because of someone who, and I've had people say to me, you know, God can heal you from dyslexia. Yeah, I know he can, but he's let me that way. But see, because he's proved to me who I am and who he is. See, I know who God is. My wife will tell you, I know who God is, because recall and remembrance sometimes, am I lying or not, can be very difficult for me. I can read something wrong and 5 minutes later, I have to go back and read it again to tell you what it was. It's gotten better over the years. I've learned things and ways to train my, you know, it's not as much a problem for me now as it was when I was younger. But the big part of it is the Holy Spirit bringing things to my remembrance. And if you wonder why I mispronounce words sometimes, that's why too. Because I know how to say it up here. But by the time it gets from up here to exit my mouth, sometimes it gets a little jarbled. But the Holy Spirit, Missy, brings it to me. Susan would say to me for years, Sean, I know, because she used to type my notes for years for me so nothing would be misspelled. And she would say, Sean, I know that wasn't in your notes. It's amazing how when you're preaching, how God will bring to your remembrance, how the Holy Spirit will just reveal to you through your remembrance when you're preaching. I know. It's a sign to me, Bill. It's a sign to me of the power of God. Peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So if you think something in this world is going to make you happy, that's part of your problem. If you think the one beside you this morning is going to be your happiness, that's part of your problem. They can bring some joy in your life. They can bring some happiness in your life. But without the Lord, without His joy, without His peace, you are not going to have complete joy and peace. We fall short. We disappoint each other. The joy we give and the peace we offer is momentary. But Jesus said, I will leave you peace. My peace I give unto you, not as this old world gives it unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 16:12-15, we got to move. I still have many things, Jesus said. John 16:12-15, I still have many things to say to you. That's how I feel every single week. The things that I feel God laying in my heart and directing me as a vessel, as an instrument that He's called to do this. But you cannot bear them now, He said. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. In other words, you need to see, He's talking about something that's going to happen, Jill, that hasn't happened yet. All these verses, He's talking about someone that's going to come that hasn't yet come. I still have many things to say to you, but I can't right now. But when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He, the Holy Spirit, He will not speak on His own authority, but whatsoever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, the Spirit of truth, when He comes. One, will glorify Jesus. Two, for He will take what is Mine, Holy Spirit, Jesus, and declare it to you. All that the Father has given is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Acts 2:1-4. We're almost done. Acts 2:1-4. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Pentecost Sunday morning. Debt cancellation. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I wouldn't ever want to leave a place like that. But only 120 stuck around. Bill, there was 500. What's 120 off 500? Come on, some of you math people. 380 people. 500 followed. Lori, 380 left. I believe after the Holy Spirit came, I don't doubt they heard the word again. They probably came back because there's some big stuff happened after the Holy Spirit came. 500 down to 120. You know, if a church had 500 and it went down to 120, you know what everybody would say about that? Oh, no! We got to fire the preacher. We probably have to leave too. There must be something we don't know about. Church at 500 and went down to 120 when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all, you know, when they had 500, they probably couldn't have been in one accord. The sheer fact they weren't there tells you the answer. The sheer fact that 380 of them were no longer there is the answer. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Well, I wish I had a deep voice. They were with one accord in one place. John said, there comes one who is greater. They were in one place waiting. They heard his instruction and they obeyed what he said. And he prayed the Father, and the Father answered by sending the promise. It's all unfolding right now. Everything we've read about and much more that I didn't have time for, it's all unfolding right in this event. Everything Jesus told them. He prayed the Father. They listened to his word, 120 of them, and the promise came. They gathered together in one place. They didn't leave, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Could you imagine? You think you'd ever doubt if you saw that? Imagine right now, Bill, right here, right on each side of me. Wouldn't that be cool? Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome. Tongues of fire just lit up right beside me on both sides. See, it happened there. Filled the house where they were sitting. Then appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire. And sat upon each one of them. Fire! They were literally on. They were lit. They were lit. They were on fire. Fire was on, Ethan. It was on them. Could you imagine right now if fire just came down on every one of us? But we didn't burn up. That fire came to refine us. That fire came to baptize us, burn out the old stuff. Fire sat upon each one of them. And they, the 120, the 380 missed out. The 120 that heard and remained. 500 heard, but only 120 remained. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. How many believe so wholeheartedly in the Trinity? How many of you believe that God wants to bless you? That God wants to heal you? That God wants to deliver you? That God wants to set you free? How many of you believe today you are born again and on your way to heaven? Then why you got such a problem with they spoke in other tongues? Isn't it amazing how we'll pick and choose the ones we want to? Because to be honest with you, that kind of wigs people out. What? It's in your Bible, isn't it? You don't believe it right now, just take that page and tear it out. Just tear it out and say, God, I don't believe it. I couldn't believe you tell me to tear something. Well, if you don't believe it, then why are you keeping it in there? Now catch this. As the Spirit gave them utterance. This isn't something you can teach yourself. You can't go to a self-help course or class and learning how to speak in the Holy Ghost. As the Spirit, say as the Spirit, gave them utterance. Say, Holy Spirit, give me utterance. The power of God, 120 in the upper room. Within three days, how many came into the church? Within 3 days, The day they were filled, 3,000 were added to the church. 3,000. And then 4,000. There now were over 7,000 born again, tongues of fire, Pentecostal, born again, Jews and Gentiles. Because the day of Pentecost came. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were able to stand and preach with power and authority. Because it wasn't their authority. It was His authority. He gave them authority. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're here today, May 2018, born again. Are you born again? How many here are born again? You believe in Jesus Christ. You born again? If you're not, it's real simple. Just say, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Guess what? You're born again. That's you're born again. Now you got to start living it and walking it, but that you're born again at that point. You say, Jesus, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's just that simple. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Church made it. Church theology bill screwed people up, man. It's messed people up. If I wasn't a pastor, I probably wouldn't go to church either. I'm just kidding. I'd be in the front row every Sunday morning if I wasn't the pastor. I would. I love the word. I love to hear the word. But I understand why people get so messed up with the church anymore. Because sometimes the church can be confusing to people. Well, you got to do this. Stand on your head, spin around 3 times, repent of all your sins, go to the car wash, get out and go through yourself, get all cleaned up. Take your clothes with you, throw them in the car, open the trunk, get your clothes washed. Go home and burn up half of everything you've got, and then you can be born again. But you can't drink the real wine, you've got to drink the grape juice. You can't go buy none of them funny little hard wafers either. You got to bake some fresh bread. And then you will do the remembrance thing, you know, remembering what He did. And then you can be born again and you can be saved. And that'll be good. We put rules, regulations, and Jesus said, the Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I believe that encompasses every one of us this morning. But what I am going to ask you is this. But have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? We knew there was the Father. We knew Jesus came and He walked and He lived. But then came the Holy. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and He will send a helper. If you don't know the helper, He's available today. I'm going to make it real easy for you, because this is what I feel and sensed in my spirit God telling me to do. As we conclude this service this morning, I'm going to ask you to come to the front in just a moment. Even if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will just fill you afresh, anew. It'll just be like a fresh wave of His presence over you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you this morning. How many want to leave here today without the Holy Spirit? You want to leave here today without Him? No, because I was going to say, you can leave right now, because he's going to come. He's already here. You know how I know He's here? Because He came with me. And I hope He came with some of you. But I can guarantee you this, if He didn't, He'll leave with you. Worship team, you want to get back to your stations, the instruments? We're going to conclude our time together around the altar this morning. If you have a difficult time standing, you can find a place in one of the chairs near the front and sit down. You don't have to stand. We're not going to be real long, but I'd like for us to be in one accord. That means all doing the same thing. Leaving where we are to come into where he is and to lift our hands to heaven and ask him in one accord, Nate, with one voice, fill us. Fill us. So as the music begins to play, I'm going to invite you in just a moment. I hope you have an anticipation in your spirit. I hope today you have an anticipation. You know why? Things are about to change. Things are about to change. Your life's about to change. Because he makes all things new. You ready for that? You can't handle that. Are you ready for it? He makes all things new. Oh, he's so good. Come on, team. Will you lead us?